Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, Thunderbird Management Consulting, and I have with me today, therefore you have with you today, two very special guests, and I'll tell you why they're special in just a second, if it doesn't become obvious. We have with us the chair of the board of the El Paso Chamber of Commerce and their relatively new president and CEO, Ricardo Mora and Elizabeth O'Hara. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us, Richard.
Ricardo, you've been in the job about 7 months?
That's right, about 7 months.
So why don't you share with our audience a little background about yourself, your bio, if you will.
Sure. Thank you, Richard. Well, my name is Ricardo Mora. Some people call me Ricky. Others call me Ricardo, so Ricky Ricardo for that. And I'm born in El Paso, raised in Ciudad Juarez. So I lived in Juarez till about my 30th birthday. I've done business in Ciudad Juarez for many, many years, and for about over 30 years. I've been involved in many ventures. The El Paso Chamber is my second job ever. So I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I still operate businesses in telecommunication, real estate, and restaurants. And I'm very excited to be able to work at the El Paso Chamber at this time. I'll add that the last experience I had for 10 years, worked 10 years in Ciudad Juarez, rebuilding the old U.S. consulate facility into a technology business center that today houses over 100 companies, helping startups and helping work with STEM and different programs. So I think all that was preparing me for this position.
Perhaps so. Actually, that's the first time I met you. Was we brought a group over. Paul Foster was with me and Alejandro Chavez and I think Josh. There was a group of us that all came over for you to show us what you all were doing because they were trying to emulate you in some way in El Paso.
That's correct.
So that's the first time we met. Yeah. Kismet, right?
Yeah, so it's been a decade now.
Believe yeah, at not. Least for me, yeah. For sure. And Elizabeth, as a chairperson of the board, you need to say something pretty quickly.
You know, I'll tell you what, you know, certainly hiring Ricardo is probably going to be the smartest thing that I ever did in my 2 years as chairing this board. We certainly did it with a committee. I think he's the perfect person for this time, especially with such an emphasis on border business, binationalism, trade, manufacturing. I mean, to find somebody like him, that was lightning in a bottle.
I think it's important then for you to share with us the role that the chamber and you play with Mexico and the border, as well as working with the other entities in the community that are all concerned about economic development, our border region.
The Chamber of Commerce, as we all know, is the leading advocacy organization in El Paso region, dedicated to fostering job growth, economic expansion, and elevating quality of life. On the cross-border arena, I feel very comfortable because that's where we've been playing for many years, involved in multiple ventures, multiple boards across the border. I actually was authorized to stay on two boards in Ciudad Juarez as we continue to work with Desarrollo Económico and a nonprofit organization that works for STEM work. And that helps you understand more about the needs of both sides of the border. There's definitely a different way to do economic development on the south side than there is on the north side. But at the end of the day, what is required is the willingness to build bridges and not demolish them and to have open conversations that build trust along, you know, time.
So, well, along those lines, we both have a lot of interaction with our mayor, our new mayor. Not so new anymore. He probably feels like he's old.
120-something days now?
Yeah. But one of the things he's shared with me recently is how much more time he's spending working with the mayor of Juarez, as well as the mayor of Las Cruces, as we're talking about ourselves as a region. So that's good to hear that you all are interacting with one another. And Desarrollo, you know, they're a mainstay in Juarez, right? There have been so many different organizations that have propped up over the years in Juarez, but they're sort of the gold standard, if you will, in Juarez. Would you agree?
I agree. I mean, Desarrollo Económico is definitely a very important organization. I serve on their board as well. But I do want to do a shout out. There's many good organizations in Ciudad Juarez and that we partner with, including Coparmex, Technology Hub, Canacintra, and many, you know, the Borderplex Alliance and many others, because that is what it takes to build a community. We all live in the same sandbox. and it's about wanting to, you know, play with each other and helping each other out anytime that we can.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. So 7 months into the job, since you've come to the chamber, what changes have you made?
Richard, that's a great question. great question. Well, we have implemented different changes at the chamber. And before we started doing that, we were really understanding, you know, the first 3 months on a listening tour and trying to understand what our membership requires. So I delved into the government relations side and had a lot of help from the chamber itself. And I got to give a shout out to Manny Rodriguez, who really helped me out to understand and meet with all the electeds and understand how that side of the house works. And then also understand the public policy agenda and the legislative days as we were coming into that. And the agenda was approved at the end of last year for February, which was Austin Days. For 60 years, Richard, and you know this, the El Paso Chamber has been leading that conversation. But as I had a chance to see everything that the chamber was doing, I did understand from our membership that many of them want a united voice. They want a voice that is speaking about their issues, whether it's in infrastructure, whether it's in transportation. They're looking for growth. They're looking for visibility. Some of them are looking for credibility. And definitely the chamber being a 125-year stable organization for that long is the partner to have in El Paso. So as we saw that, we said, well, how can we build a different framework moving forward? And we continue to you know, have new memberships today. We probably have 30 new members that have come over from Ciudad Juarez. And when I say members from Juarez, it's actual members that are binational members that live in El Paso. Their families are in El Paso. Their kids go to school in El Paso, but their businesses are across the border. And those are the folks that we're trying to give a better voice, get more involved in the community, because at the end of the chamber, at the end of the day, the chamber is a voice to be integrated into a community about making change and moving us all forward. So I would say that doing that is part of one of the differentiators we've done.
And I would like to add that on that, you know, when we went on this legislative trip to Austin in early February, like this is also early in the Trump 2 administration, right? And so the conversation is just getting underway about tariffs, and it's just getting underway about immigration and the border. And this was the largest contingent of Juarez businessmen and women to ever go to Juarez with us. Like we had to Austin.
Yeah.
So it was a big signal. And to kind of give you a visual picture of that, we're walking along, you know, the first floor of the Capitol. And as there are every day at the Capitol, there's protesters. And so there's somebody there holding a sign advocating for the closure of the border. And here go 100 of us from El Paso to include our Juarez counterparts walking right past so that we can speak to the Speaker of the House and to the Lieutenant Governor and to others about the importance of the border. There's never been more emphasis on us. And I thought it was very important. And I think Ricardo really needs to get a lot of credit here. Really, based off of his reputation and the conversations that he has, we can really show a much stronger united front in a way that has not existed before. And he developed that in a couple of months, Richard.
So you made a statement, and we just recently, the three of us attended the Borderplex's Border mm-hmm. Summit.
Yes.
And we got to hear from both Joe Manchin and Karl Rove, and they underscored what you just said. And how important our community is to the national conversation about the southern border.
Yes. Understanding, of course, that the Texas legislature has no funding happening in Juarez. It's a different city. It's a different country. It's a different state. But you cannot understand economic development where we live if you don't understand what is happening there. To do so is foolish. And so it was very important that, you know, they come with us, that we be a part of it. We're integrated. That's just the way it is. And so I just really wanted to note that. That was a huge group of people from Juarez that went with us.
Well, I think it's an important statement that you made for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is the one point you were making regarding having Juarenses spending time with you in Austin because they see the value and the importance of your efforts. But if you wouldn't mind just taking a moment, I don't mean to surprise you because we didn't talk about this beforehand, but a little bit more about the El Paso days. It was a successful trip, I understand.
So it was a very successful trip. Fortunately, the legislative agenda had been started since April of the year before, you know, of last year, and I didn't come in until August. And it was firming up very nicely, and I know there was hundreds of folks that worked around that to get that approved by our board in November. So for me, it was a learning experience, but understanding all the areas that the chamber is involved in. To be able to build that legislative agenda and to, you know, pass it down to over 110 folks, and from Juarez and Chihuahua, by the way. Mm-hmm. We also had attendees from Chihuahua to better understand the needs of our community and the united voice that we're presenting in Austin for, you know, for future funding and for future opportunities. To me, it was spotless, the way that the chamber ran it. And it was not because of any work that I did. It was just already in place. And that is what I love about, you know, an organization as a chamber.
I will say the chamber staff did an amazing job because they had to do that through the transition of losing one CEO, the hiring of another, and the rapid education that we had to give Ricardo regarding why we are doing this when it came to governance, when it came to public policy. You know, you've got a lot of businesses pulling at the chamber and saying, my issue is the most important. But you really do have to take a step back and say, theme-wise, what are we all stacking our hands on? And so that's where it comes down to innovation, and it's coming down to transportation and the policies that affect us. It really is, you know, steering the ship around the Titanic. If you get that wrong, you're hitting the iceberg, right?
Right.
And so I thought the chamber staff did an amazing job in making sure that that went off really well.
That's good to hear. Well, having participated myself for like 20 plus years, I know the kind of work that goes into that. And it's demanding, to say the least. But that helps us segue, Ricardo. Let's spend a little time talking about the chamber's top priorities and your focus areas as an organization.
Well, the chamber has three top priorities, which are economic development and innovation. And here we're doing a lot of workforce development. And on the innovation side, I'm happy to share that this is the first time the chamber is owning and implementing AI. So we partner with Microsoft, and we have an AI workshop ongoing through the entire year for small businesses. So we want to make sure that businesses capture that value and understand that there's ways to scale today that did not exist before. And the chamber is going to help them on that side.
In a moment, I want to spend some time on that.
All right. Perfect.
Go ahead.
Secondly, public policy and government relations. And this includes everything from aerospace and defense, manufacturing, healthcare, military, veteran affairs, and empowering businesses to making sure they know they have a voice when this needs to be talked about. And thirdly, infrastructure and transportation. As you might know, Richard, the El Paso Chamber has the Mobility Coalition, and it's a great coalition that it has, and the Chamber continues to work with it, and we plan to keep on strengthening it to be able to help the MPO and build our community. We understand that a community without infrastructure and transportation is not a strong community. So those are the three pillars.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So back to AI. I mean, I don't know how many members you have now, but so many of them are small business. So tell me about this partnership with Microsoft. This is incredible.
Sure. Well, as you might have known, you know, Microsoft came into town back in 2018 with a work that I had been doing across the border, helping companies integrate to the supply chain through a program called the Bridge Accelerator, and they were the underwriters for that program. We continue to build relationships, and when the announcement came out, I got a call from them and said, hey, we want to work with the chamber. How can we do that? So that conversation led to, you know, let's have a conversation. Let's see how we can do this. Fortunately, our board chair positions were open that month. We have now a new member on our board who is J.J. Childress from Microsoft.
Yes,
and
with whom I sat and had lunch with.
That's right. Just yesterday. It's a close community and small. But that led to saying, how can we help small businesses understand AI? And this workshop is magnificent. J.J. kicked it off with a partner out of San Miguel de Allende, Oscar Ortega. And unfortunately, I wasn't here that day. I was in Austin,
right.
Texas Transportation Commission, but I know it was great. Oscar, we've worked with Oscar before. He takes it to a level that is digestible. The businesses that are there are understanding how they can do more with it. And then if they're at a different level, we can work with them separately.
So how often do you have these sessions?
It's going to be quarterly.
Quarterly?
Quarterly, yeah.
Okay, and is this all chamber members, any chamber member?
Any chamber member, any non-chamber member can come. There's a fee associated with it. It's just a small fee, but it's a great resource. We've actually had some pings of companies that want us to do it just for a company. And for now, we're doing it as a group.
And I think, Richard, it's a good example of one of the outreaches that we do with small business. You know, we were talking just before the taping began about the idea that some people may think the chamber is really just for large enterprise. I mean, let's look at El Paso. We don't have that many large businesses. The majority makeup of our membership is small and mid-sized. And so they need access to these kind of tools. And I think that the AI workshops, I mean, I think that really speaks to the kind of work that the chamber is doing and ensuring that, you know, all ships rise.
I think it's great. And, of course, we both know, I mean, you're a reflection of the community that you serve. And as you said, we don't have that many large businesses. 90% of our population, business population, is small business.
That's right.
So it's appropriate that you would be focusing your energies in that same direction. So going on, you didn't actually answer the question yet about changes that you have made in the organization.
Well, these are some of the changes. Obviously, it's new programming,
right?
To include AI, to include HR. We also have an HR workshop going for the organization, and then we established our priorities. We cleaned up a little bit about what our vision is, our three top priorities. We also did something different this year. We were doing a lot of events, so this year we cut down to 4 major signature events. To understand that we have a lot of other work to do within our community than just signature events.
And what are those signature events?
It is the State of the City, which is a massive success. We had over 700 folks at the State of the City. We have the State of the Workforce and Education. This year we merged them. So we are making sure that education is part of the conversation on panels and workforce development. We're happy to share that President Wilson will be there, President Zarata. We're working with Texas Tech and also with Western Tech because they are part of the feeders in our community that are helping the workforce get more aligned. And then we have a State of the Military, which is coming up June 4th, and it's going to be at the Centennial. We're very excited to do that. There's going to be a lot of fun there. Our community gets a chance to really understand that Fort Bliss is El Paso. As they say, and El Paso is Fort Bliss. We are so lucky to have them in our city, as you know, Richard. So this will be a great time for folks to come and understand what Fort Bliss does for us, to celebrate them and to be thankful for their service. And then lastly, we have the State of the County with El Paso County, which does very important work.
Yeah, I actually just had Ricardo on my show a few weeks ago, and he did point out to me that you all are doing the State of the County at the Coliseum.
He has requested to do it at the Coliseum.
Oh, he made it sound like it was fact.
Oh, no, it is a fact.
Oh, okay.
That's
happening.
It's happening. That's going to be a tricky one, but we'll make it happen. We can do it anywhere.
Well, he's certainly excited about having it there. He spent a good part of our conversation talking about the importance of the Coliseum and its history and why it needs to be preserved and upgraded. And he made a great case for support, not to pitch his story during your interview, but it just came to mind when you said that you were doing the State of the County. So I'm looking forward to that because I've never been to a State of the County at the County Coliseum. It's always been either at one of the hotels or the convention center. So we have like 10 minutes left.
Okay.
Again, we always run out of time. You guys have a lot to share with us. So I'll give you an opportunity, Liz, as the chair of the board. By the way, there must be a place in heaven for you to have taken on this position for 2 years.
You know what? I have to be perfectly honest. We were only a few months into it. It was March or April when Andrea Hutchins, the former CEO, announced that she would be going to Washington State because she was following her husband, who was military and was being transferred. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. Now I have to find a new CEO. I've never gone through a CEO search. Like, what do I know about this? Took a couple of months, 4 months. Now we're onboarding a new CEO, and nothing could slow down, right? Like, you still got to make some money. We still have to get members. We still have to hold the events we said we were going to host, and we're going to onboard a new guy. And at the end of the year, I thought, well, it's too bad that, you know, my term is going to be ending, because it was supposed to be a one-year term. And I thought, well, I didn't really accomplish anything outside of, like, hiring a CEO, which is really big, of course, but I didn't get to do anything. And the board, God love them, either they love me or hate me, I haven't decided yet. they asked if I would stay for one more year to continue to help transition Ricardo, and of course I said yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you ask about some of the changes that happened, I mean, I think that the chamber needs to be recognized as a business itself. And it was really important that we be reflective and say, like Ricardo said, we're doing too many things. We need to get back. We've had some mission drift. What are we really supposed to be doing? Where do we need to focus our time? And, you know, he kind of flew through it. But on the same day that the AI workshop kicked off, he and I are in Austin testifying at TxDOT to request phase 3 funding for the Borderland Expressway. So there's things that are happening simultaneously that will pull your attention. And so I will tell you, Richard, I serve on a number of boards. I'm also on the United Way board.
I'm aware.
I have served on the community college board. I've been on the YWCA board. This is the most engaged board I have ever been on. And you better know your stuff. You need to know your finances. You need to understand your why when it comes to events. These are important people. You know, I had a little bit of intimidation when I first came on this board because there's some heavy hitters here. And ultimately, bottom line, they want their businesses to thrive because they want to see El Paso thrive. So whatever it is that the chamber needs to do to make that happen, that's their interest.
Yeah.
And so I've had some really great experiences. I can't believe it's almost over. I've got about, you know, 6-7 more months to go.
Well, don't count your chickens just yet.
No, I'm doing this. I'm
I heard rumors about a third year.
You need to stop right now.
all kidding aside, and I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Sure.
Kudos to your employer.
Oh.
Texas Gas / One Gas, because most large companies in particular, but any company, allowing one of their key people to devote as much energy and time as they're allowing you to do to help the chamber, it's few and far between.
I do work for a really, really good company, and they get it in a way that a lot of the other companies, small and large, do as well. What happens at the chamber is very important, especially given the advocacy that needs to happen when it comes to government relations these days.
Yeah.
You need to have a voice. Ideally, if I could wave my magic wand, I would love to hear from the dais of the county or from the city, well, what does the chamber think? Has anybody asked the chamber what they think about, you know, insert a subject matter? I think that it's that important that the business voice be heard, and that needs to roll through us.
Okay. And with the last 5 minutes that we have, Ricardo, I want to hand it back to you. Sort of some closing thoughts you want to share as we'll still call you the new CEO. Maybe after your 1 year anniversary, we can just refer to you as a CEO without that other descriptor. Some closing thoughts that you want the audience to know about relative to the chamber and its mission and its importance. Elizabeth just spoke to that, but from your perspective.
Thank you, Richard. Well, yes, as the new chamber CEO and president, and this experience for me has been rewarding in the sense of building new relationships, strengthening old ones that I've had, but at the end of the day, working with a community that, como decimos en español, estamos echados para adelante. And I am surprised because everybody that the chamber connects with is moving in the same direction. We are rolling in the same way. So as I continue to learn more every day about the chamber and the reach that it has and programs, I'm blown away. And I'm gonna just Leadership El Paso, we didn't even get a chance to talk about it, but Leadership El Paso is a premier program that has been sewing a blanket in El Paso of more than 1,500 leaders in our community for about five decades. Yep. That is a chamber program that you're familiar with. If we talk about, you know, we talked about Austin Days, six decades that going on. That is work behind the scenes of building a strong, you know, community. And we talked about this before. We talked about if people go to Ciudad Juarez and cross to Ciudad Juarez and use the CenturyLink, that was done by the El Paso Chamber 25 years ago, and that is quality of life. If you've probably heard it, people that hold that card more closer than their kids.
They do. it's more important than their passport.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So these are little examples of the greatness that the chamber has, and I am honored to be the new CEO of the El Paso Chamber and to learn from our board and to work with our board in a way that we can elevate the chamber to the next level. Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought up Leadership El Paso, and I'm so ashamed of myself, embarrassed, that I didn't think to ask you that question because it was an important program for me. I was chair of class 21. And then, of course, you hear the quotations, the best class ever. Right? But it really is. It's an exceptional program that has been the baseline for producing future leaders of El Paso for lo these many years, many of whom are serving in very key roles across the community. So you should be very proud of it. I'm glad you raised the point. So closing thought as we wrap up.
I want to add something real quick. Sorry I jump in. Anybody in El Paso that's a small business, 95% of our businesses are small, give us a call. We're happy to talk to you. And if we're the right chamber for you, we love to have you. And if we're not, we will guide you to the right direction where your business needs to go. Visit us at elpaso.org.
Thank you very much. That's their website, elpaso.org. Elizabeth?
We have a number of events. Pints and Politics is open to the public. You can always go on to the website that Ricardo just cited to find out what events we have going on. You know, you don't necessarily have to be a member to kind of sniff out what it is that we do. Come and check us out at some of the things that we do. And, you know, we also have a small business fair. We're always looking to connect with our local businesses. So we hope to see you soon.
Thank you. And thank you both for being on the show. For those of you who may have tuned in a few minutes late, we're interviewing the leadership of El Paso Chamber. And that is Ricardo Mora, who is the president and CEO, and Elizabeth O'Hara, who is the board chair. Thank you both for being on the show. And to our audience, you know, I'm going to remind you, this is KTEP, your NPR station for the Southwest, your public media station. And we depend on your support. If you're already a member, thank you so much. If you're not yet a member, please join. Go to our website, which is ktep.org. And you can hit the donate button, become a member, become a sustaining member, as I am, and you'll never regret the support that you give to public radio. Thank you all, and have a great Saturday.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.